Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Theater of the Beat has been known to tackle challenging social justice topics such as draft dodging, marriage, justice, and homosexuality in its plays. The company's latest production, Yellow Bellies, was performed earlier this year at the Global Mennonite Peacebuilding Conference and Festival in Waterloo, and looked at the stories of conscientious objectors during World War II. Our guest tonight is Theater of the Beat Artistic Director and Yellow Bellies co-author Johnny Wideman. Johnny's on the phone with us to talk about the play. But before we get to our interview, let's listen to Anthem of Praise from the Toronto Mass Choir CD Made for Worship.
And you are Almighty God.
Holy and omnipotent, you are Almighty God.
Boundless and infinite, you deserve the highest
praise.
Eternal and measureless, perfect in all your ways.
Now we're a conversation with Johnny Wideman. Good evening, Johnny.
Hey, how you doing, Robert?
Not bad. Now, the last time we talked, Theater of the Beat was beginning the run for This Will Lead to Dancing, which explored the Mennonite stance on homosexuality. What led the company to actually tackling that particular topic at that time?
We received a lot of comments from audiences as we toured different shows, kind of asking, hey, like, you guys like to tackle, you know, controversial conversations. You like to tackle things that seem relevant. When are you going to tackle, you know, inclusion or homosexuality within the church? And so basically these kind of questions and comments just kept coming up. And so it really kind of arose from the community itself, which is really neat.
Well, as you were developing it and as it was starting to go, and I know you've done a couple of performances of it lately as well, what's been the response?
Overwhelmingly positive response, I would say. Positive not always meaning that everyone agrees, but positive in terms of people seem grateful that we're starting the conversation. People seem grateful that we've done the play in a respectful way. A lot of really cool conversations have come out of it. So we're just very pleased with it so far.
Well, I know some of the times we've talked before, you've mentioned that with the Theater of the Beat and the topics that you deal with, a lot of times you're raising more questions than you're actually answering when you're dealing with some of these topics. Is that the same with what's happening with This Will Lead to Dancing?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, like, what we try to do is to try to kick open the door to conversation, to kind of upset the bee's nest sometimes, because often there's a lot of conversations that we don't want to have. And so theater can be a good way of kind of reminding us that some of these are very important conversations. And so I would say in terms of questions, definitely. I mean, I have very few answers, and I'm often the one writing the plays. And so I think that translates through just to really dig into all the questions and present them as we find them, and then kind of allow the audience to kind of come up with their, you know, their own responses, their own feelings and answers.
Mm-hmm. Now, just to sort of give some of our listeners some background, because they may not have heard some of our interviews before, and that is giving people a little bit of background about Theater of the Beat. How did Theater of the Beat itself come together?
Sure. I studied theater at the University of Waterloo, as did several of the other kind of founding members. I was living at Conrad Grable University College, which is a Mennonite residence as well as college that's on the university campus. And so I was kind of, in a way, living these kind of two lives. You know, I'd go over to the theater department and history department where I was studying, and then I'd kind of come back to this residence. And that was just kind of a normal part of my life. And then when I graduated, I was kind of working in theater stuff, and I was also trying to work in kind of activist stuff in social justice fields. But I wasn't kind of combining these two passions of theater and trying to make the world a better place. And it wasn't really until I realized that I wasn't happy doing these kind of separate things, I wanted to try doing them together, that's kind of when the impetus for Theater of the Beat came about.
Now, that's something I think unique about Theater of the Beat is it's a whole company that's devoted to dealing with social justice and social justice issues. I know other theaters have done, you know, plays, you know, one-off runs of plays that deal with those issues. What's the difference between what Theater of the Beat's doing and what you see some other theater companies are doing?
I think often theater is used purely as kind of entertainment. You know, to go to the theater to maybe have a few laughs or listen to some nice songs and then go home. But often when you leave those plays, you're just like, oh, that was nice, and you go home and you don't really have anything to talk about. And we hope that once you leave the theater, that's like you're just kind of engulfed in conversation with the people that you saw it with, that you might even talk to some of the other people you didn't know in the theater. We really want theater to be used as a catalyst for change and for conversation. And so I guess we're using it intentionally in that way, and that's maybe where the differences would come.
So what are some of the topics that you've tackled over the years?
Well, we've done about 9 different plays that we've toured, I believe. That's maybe not right. I'd have to look at that. We just looked at LGBTQ inclusion within the Mennonite Church specifically. We've looked at restorative justice and what does it mean for, I guess specifically churches, for them to respond to either victims or ex-offenders, people who want to be involved in their church communities. We've looked at issues of peace and pacifism and making beliefs your own. We've looked at kind of getting stuck in a certain way of thinking and kind of becoming rigid in that, which was like a more thematic play. And then we've looked at relationships. So we were commissioned by a counseling organization to look at healthy relationships and to kind of try to get people talking about what's going on in relationships. There are definitely more, but that's all I'm coming up with right now.
Right. Now, what do you find the most challenging aspect of producing plays with social justice themes is?
For me, myself, I'm a playwright. That's predominantly what I've written a lot of the plays. I haven't written all of them. I've written some of them with other people, and some of our other company members have written them as well. But I really enjoy writing. That's kind of where my passion lies. And for me, the most difficult part is to write a play that asks the right questions, that doesn't ever come off as, you know, ranty or like that I have all the answers. I really want to just kind of spark conversations and get the audience thinking about the same kind of questions that I've just spent my, you know, last year writing the play thinking about. Mm-hmm. And in order to kind of present those questions in a way that seems conversational and seems like a living, organic thing is definitely the hardest part for me.
Well, we're going to talk about your latest project, but before we do that, we're going to take a quick break and then continue our conversation with Theater of the Beat artistic director and playwright Johnny Weidman. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Arts Connection. You've been listening to Come Let Us Sing from the Toronto Mass Choir's CD Made for Worship. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Johnny Weidman, playwright and artistic director of Theater of the Beat. We're talking before the break about the fact that there's all different topics that you can tackle and that you have tackled, and the latest one is the whole issue of conscientious objectors during World War II in a play called Yellow Bellies. What led to that, especially in the fact that this is a play that you co-wrote? It wasn't just a single work that you did by yourself. But what led to the production of Yellow Bellies?
Well, it's actually this year has been the 75th, I guess, anniversary of alternative service being something that's offered in Canada. So an alternative to serving in the military. And so with that in mind, there was some organizations in Waterloo that kind of approached Theatre of the Beat, and we essentially were commissioned to write a historical play that looked at this kind of forgotten, often unglorified aspect of Canadian history. And the interesting thing about this side of history is that it's very much connected to Christian churches. Several denominations across Canada felt that they didn't believe it was right to kill someone else or to go to war. That's not what God wanted them to do. And so they kind of lobbied against the government, and until an option was created for them. And so it's a very intriguing story, and it's very interesting to look at how society responded to them. And I set out really not knowing much about it, and then by the end I was very, very intrigued by this very unique aspect of Canadian history, both for like the church and for the entire country. And so it was actually a really cool project to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the challenges you had as you were developing the play?
Once again, I guess just trying to show the complications. You have a group of people as conscientious objectors who believe that they are doing the right thing, that it's what God wants them to do, that it's what their communities and churches want them to do, but that they are just about the most unpopular people that you can imagine, because during a wartime, a lot of people are responding to a call where they are being asked to fight and potentially kill for their country to stop a greater evil. And you have these people, often with German backgrounds, who are saying they refuse to fight. So these people are kind of deemed to be traitors. They're called yellow bellies. They're called all sorts of names, and they're very essentially distrusted by the rest of the country and other churches as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a very interesting thing when you have these two kind of viewpoints, both kind of founded in what people believe, but that are kind of polar opposites of each other. And so to try to explore all the complications of that and what it must have felt to be a conscientious objector during a time when there was, you know, a lot of propaganda, a lot of everything was about the war. It would have been a very difficult time.
Well, when you were doing your research for this, did you actually get a chance to talk to some people that went through the Alternative Service Program?
Yeah, I did. Both myself and Rebecca Steiner, who is researching in Winnipeg through the Canadian Mennonite University, she had a team of archivists that were students, both archivists and then also student researchers who were all researching and who were getting live interviews. I myself also conducted several live interviews in Ontario. And it was really cool to kind of, it's an aging population. There's just like World War II veterans. There's not many of them left around anymore. And mm-hmm. So to actually sit down and for them to show me their pictures, and for them to relive some of these memories is not only cool for me, who was compiling all this information, but to kind of reinforce the choices that they had made and to see these elderly gentlemen kind of reflecting on this time in their life where they really did something that was hard, that they believed in. I think it was also very empowering for them mm-hmm. to know that someone else cared about this story and that it was kind of continuing on.
Well, I know in the research and writing process, there's always stuff that you end up having to leave on the editing floor because it just isn't fitting in that particular time. Were there any stories or anything that you discovered in your research project that you wish you had been able to include, but you really weren't?
Huh. Yeah, that's a great question. One of the interesting things about this story was just the way that kind of gender was viewed, I guess, because during this time, it was the manly thing to go and fight for your country, to be brave, to wear a uniform. And a lot of these young men from kind of historic peace churches weren't doing that. And so all of a sudden their kind of masculinity was questioned. They were called, you know, any kind of name that would be, I don't know, embarrassing to be called at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And these men were then sent to these work camps where they had to do everything for themselves. They had to cook. They had to do their own laundry. They had to, grow food in some cases if they had gardens and stuff. The things that weren't necessarily seen as masculine chores back home. And while this was happening, wives and mothers and sisters were left at home to kind of fight for themselves, defend for themselves. And often, these COs weren't making much money at all, like 50 cents a day for their work. And so they didn't have anything to send home to provide their families with. So then all of a sudden, these men who are already, you know, being punished and are kind of furtherly emasculated because they can't provide for their families, and often their wives or mothers had to go get jobs in town, often working for kind of munitions factories or rubber factories or things that were connected to the war. And so these men were just so torn about their identity, about what it meant to be a man. And some really interesting things kind of came out because of that. Like, you get guys who, even though they're pacifists, who say they're not going to go fight, they're growing mustaches, which was seen as a very militaristic thing. They start dressing in uniforms. They start repurposing old songs. And so some very complicated things start arising. And it was really neat to explore some of those, the ways that people responded.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this sounds like an area of history that really hasn't been explored that much in Canada. Has the play helped, you know, sort of shed a little bit of light on that era of time?
I would say, I mean, even if it is something you are familiar with, I would say the way history is taught in school or the way we often engage with history, it's not a very personal story. It doesn't really look at how individuals have been affected, or, you know, the things that they might be going through or the things that they might be feeling. We just hear kind of dates and stats and casualties and those kind of numbers. I think what was so cool about this project for me is that I was actually researching with diaries and letters and photograph albums that were all through, like, that I was receiving through the Mennonite Archives of Ontario. And I was actually hearing these people's thoughts and kind of even following correspondence between people that ended up becoming husband and wife. And it was so neat to actually piece together this story from a personal level as opposed to a kind of a top-down research, you know, kind of macro lens. And so I think it was really neat to just look at what these men would have been going through, the things that they were thinking about, how their faith and beliefs were being challenged, how what they missed from back home, what was hard. It really makes it a personal story where you get to know these characters, and that's a really cool thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a final break, and then we're going to come back and finish our conversation with Theatre of the Beat Artistic Director, Johnny Weidman. I'm your host, Robert White, and you listen to Arts Connection on Faith.fm. Arts Connection. You've been listening to Worship You from the Toronto Mass Choir CD Made to Worship. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to wrap up our conversation with Theatre of the Beat Artistic Director Johnny Weidman. Yellow Bellies premiered at the Global Mennonite Peacebuilding Conference and Festival, which was held in Waterloo here a little while ago. What was the reaction to it as people were watching this?
It was a very positive response. We had about 600 people come out over two shows, which was really cool to see so many people out. The initial show, because it was attached to this conference, there was people there from all over the world. There was a man that I spoke to after the show who is from Korea, who had actually just been, you know, in a very similar circumstance where it is still an environment where you're forced to fight, and if someone had a conscience that kind of didn't align with that you would be put in prison. And so he kind of spoke to it being very much in line with his beliefs, and he had actually just got out of prison for refusing to fight in the military. And, like, so there was these real-life stories that were there from all over the world. And then there was also people who were there that were old enough to remember that time and who were reflecting on it and sharing their stories in the talk back and saying, this is exactly how it was, or I remember stories just like that, or I think I even know the character that you based that person off of. And so to have that affirmation in terms of the research that we did, the way that we conveyed the stories and the complexities of those stories, it was a really powerful experience.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there plans to run this one again?
Yeah, absolutely. That's always the hope of theater, because you put so much work into it, and then in one weekend or 1 week or whatever, it's over. And so we are trying to figure out some other venues for it. There's interest in Stouffville, Ontario, which is my hometown, at a theater there. And we also actually have interest from Riding Mountain National Park in Manitoba, which was one of the work sites where some of these young men would have been stationed, actually building one of the national parks there.
Mm-hmm.
So we might actually be doing it in kind of the kitchen kind of cookhouse where some of these guys would have been eating their meals. And so that would be a really cool opportunity. So we're hoping for that one.
Yeah, that would be fascinating. So anything else on Theater of the Beats agenda right now? I know you just had a couple of busy weeks doing some shows and that.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to, we're going out west in November. We're partnering with Trinity Western University and Mennonite Central Committee, British Columbia, and we're doing a tour of our play, Forgiven, Forgotten, which looks at an offender trying to kind of reintegrate into society and how the community responds to him. So we're really excited about that. And then in April, we will be touring the United States with This Will Lead to Dancing, which is our play about LGBTQ inclusion in the church. So both very exciting opportunities, and we've got some other things kind of popping up, always things in the works, but nothing solidified enough to share today.
Yeah. So what? Where can people find out more about Yellow Bellies or about Theater of the Beat?
Yeah, you can check out our website, theaterofthebeat.ca. Theater spelled the Canadian way with an R-E at the end. We also have a Facebook page that we're pretty active on, sharing what our upcoming shows are and everything. And you can also follow, we have e-letters and newsletters through our website as well. So be sure to check us out there. And we've also got Instagram and Twitter. And we'd love to hear your feedback if you've seen the shows. And if you have any ideas for us to tackle in the future, we'd love to hear that too. So,
great. Yeah. Great. Well, Johnny, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thank you so much, Robert. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Arts Connection, and thank you to my guest, Johnny Weidman. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. And be sure to tune in next week at 9 p.m. for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter at @SayLaw13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook, or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.